Hey everybody, this is Dr. Josh Yellen again from the University of Houston Master of Athletic Training Program. We have commandeered the sports medicine broadcast from Jeremy Jackson. We are going to be in charge here for the majority of the day before I have to go and take care of some other personal things. So before, you guys just heard Dr. Evan Meeks, and he was talking about some epiphyseal injuries and really great information, and then we kind of changed a little direction, and with me today is Dr. Melissa Long, right? Dr. Long is an athletic trainer at Foster High School, yes. And that is in what?
Richmond.
That's in Richmond, Texas, and what school district is that?
Lamar Consolidated.
Lamar Consolidated ISD,
yes.
Right? Because everything in Texas, I've learned, is an independent school district.
Everything's an
ISD. Everything is independent of one another. So, Dr. Long, your specialty is really in something really interesting, and I want a lot of athletic trainers to listen to this because it has to do with really where the profession is going in terms of legal, ethical responsibility. It has to do with outcomes. It has to do with policy and procedure, and so your specialty is really in
coordinated school health.
Coordinated school health, and for those that this topic is fairly new to, or they're not a high school-based athletic trainer, or they don't do outreach on a daily basis, what is coordinated school health?
So coordinated school health is an overall model that connects things that are already active in the school that help students live healthy lives. It connects them overall, and it brings presence to the things that we do. Mm-hmm. So health education, the physical environment, the nutrition services, all the things that already exist in this school, the coordinated school health model is going to bring them all together and make it known that this is what we do for these kids every day.
And so, you know, the athletic trainer, my understanding of coordinated school health, and again, for everybody that's listening, coordinated school health is pretty synonymous with population health, isn't that right?
Yes.
Is it kind of one-on-one? So,
yeah.
It is
like population health, but it's directed just at the student. So we're not worried about the general population. We're worried about our student population. But besides that, it is the basic same idea.
It's population health in the school system.
Yes.
And so yesterday, I had the privilege of interviewing Marnie Collins Sims, an attorney with one of the school districts, and she was talking about different legal concerns in athletic training and in education. And we brought up the differences between HIPAA and FERPA and, you know, all those types of scenarios. And so this is the same kind of concept, that if we look at coordinated school health and look at population health, we can start to make some parallels.
Yes, definitely.
Right? Okay. So for the athletic trainers that are listening, coordinated school health, as it applies to athletic training, it's almost as if this was developed for athletic trainers.
Yeah, parts of it, definitely. Uh-huh. A lot of it deals with things that we do every single day. A lot of it has to do with how we keep our kids safe. It's all the first domain prevention of injury stuff, our heat policies, our illness, our lightning policies, our dehydration policies, what we do and how we do it before our kids even step foot on that field.
And so it's really everything, again, that first practice domain about injury and illness prevention and wellness protection. So you're talking about emergency action plans.
Yes.
You're talking about crisis intervention plans.
Yes.
You're talking about environmental plans.
Yes.
What about hydration? What about food? What about salt content? What about sugar content? Is any of that in there?
Yep, that's all in there. There's no one section of coordinated school health that addresses everything that we do as an athletic trainer. Instead, what happens in those 10 overall arching ideas that make up coordinated school health now, we are kind of sprinkled in all of them somehow. Mm-hmm. There's no one that just deals with us. We deal with something in almost every one of them.
And so this idea of coordinated school health, it started back in the 1980s with the CDC, isn't that right?
Yes.
And then they had a model. Mm-hmm. And then it moved like in the 1990s, and what is it, the ACSD?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about the model that we have now that's coming out. This
right.
new model is really based
model.
On what?
So the Center for Disease Control came up with this idea of coordinated school health. It had 8 components, and that was back in the mid-80s. These components were trying to address the student as a whole, their overall general wellness, their mental health, their emotional health, their environment, is their environment safe that they're in? And it did a really good job. And then in 2007, the ASCD, which is the Association of Supervision for Curriculum and Development, so those are all those people that are worried about how kids do on test scores, they're saying, they came out with their own little model with five parts to just say, we need every kid to be challenged. We need every kid to be engaged. And so they still focused on the kids, but they were a little bit more vague. They knew what they wanted the kid to do, but they didn't know how to get the kid there. So the CDC said, well, our eight components get the kid there. Your five components get the kid to do well academically. So we're all working towards the same thing. So let's join together. So they did. In 2013, they came to the table together. It took them a little while to get everything sorted out, which is understandable. And last school year, they came up with this new model. And we started to see it a little bit last school year, but we're really going to see it a lot starting next school year. And it's called the whole school, whole community, whole child. Sorry, it's kind of still a tongue twister because it's so
totally
new to me.
I mean, with all the things, you know, before it was like No Child Left Behind.
Yeah, and then it's, to the top.
Yeah, now it's there's something about...
I don't even know.
Yeah, you know, then there's this old math and this new math, and then there's this... Rubik's Cube math, and I don't know. So now it's whole child.
It's whole school.
Whole school.
Whole community.
Whole community.
Whole child.
Whole child. So we're really back to that holistic healthcare model.
Yeah, that right? We're going to hit that kid from every angle that they need help. Yep.
And so those athletic trainers that are interested in this, either, because I would imagine that when this starts to come out, you know, the NATA has got some really good information out there on secondary school settings, and they talk about everything from value models of the secondary school setting, athletic trainer, and what you do with the student aides, and you know all these different things. I would imagine that the NATA, as more information comes out, will probably start to take some of this, right? And there are going to be some articles written on it, and obviously you're the expert in this area, so I would imagine that you'd be leading the charge. And so there's going to be some information about, again, what is it? It's whole school,
whole school,
whole community, whole child. And so, what I mean, what does that mean? It's like, how is their home environment?
Yep, we're going to look at how, we're not going to go into their home and check to make sure the bathroom's clean. It's nothing like that. But we're going
to
make sure.
Don't come into my bathroom. Don't come into my house.
Mine either. We're going to make sure that they are safe. We're going to make sure that if they're not safe at home or outside of our school buildings, that they know that there's someone that they can go talk to about it, and confidentially too. We're going to make sure that the way they get to school is safe, which, you know, is not just your school bus, but we're going to make sure that we're walking and biking to school, and the ways, the paths that lead from these neighborhoods to the local school are safe. There's actually questions in the evaluation of this coordinated school health, the whole school, whole child, whole community, I got it backwards. But there's actually questions that ask, is walking and biking to school promoted? And if it is, are those bike paths safe? Are they monitored? Do we have crossing guards? They really do care about the kids outside of the school building as well as inside the school building. Because, and I'm not sure if you remember, it's a long time ago, but this Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
I love Maslow's hierarchy of needs, especially as it relates to
education,
yes. Right? And the business of what we do in athletic training, right? Nicole Cash is across from me, and she just graduated from my program, and she saw this in my administration class.
Yes. So then you all know, if we can't meet the students' basic needs, are they safe? Are they fed, which feeds into nutrition services, which is one of the components. Are they well, do they feel safe where they are? Do they feel, I hate to say loved because a lot of people think that you shouldn't use that word in education, but I think that we should. Do they feel valued where they are and what they're doing? So these things are all really important. And without these things, they're not going to function academically, or they're going to function poorly academically. So in order to build up that bottom base of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we got to have all these things that the coordinated school health and the whole school, whole community, whole child addresses before we can get up there to how are we doing on the STAR test?
Right.
Did we pass our end of course exam?
Right.
Because to me, I do care if you pass your end of course exam because I'm going to celebrate with you. But if you have other things going on in your life that need to be addressed before we even worry about the end of course exam, what if you haven't had a meal since Friday when you left school?
Right.
Then these are things
What if I don't have a safe home environment? What if I'm on free and reduced lunch? What if I can't get to school safely? You know, all of those things are happening just for me to get to school. And, you know, when I get to school, I'm probably, as a student in that environment, just kind of letting down a little bit. I can't receive any information. No. I'm just happy that I'm here.
And safe and
fed. Yeah,
safe
and fed.
So these are all things that, these are some of the things. This isn't what totally it's about, mm-hmm. but these are components of it. There's a lot more to it. It's a beast.
And so for those athletic trainers and those educators that are listening to this and they want to know more about it, you are presenting to a school district tonight about this. Mm-hmm. And you're presenting to Lamar.
I am. I'm presenting to my own school district. Uh-huh. I've presented in the school districts before. Now tonight I'm actually presenting to our school board,
uh-huh.
which is it's getting big time. It's someone's caring enough that the board is finding out about it and wants to know more about it.
And they're listening and they're saying, look, we need to be able to take a better approach, because we all know in today's society, I mean, we are, unfortunately, I'm not going to get on my own soapbox, but there are some areas that are broken and we need to mm-hmm. be able to work together as a whole community, mm-hmm. right? And
yes.
fix it. So if somebody wants to learn more about this, right? Listening to your presentation, if you have an athletic trainer, somebody at the district that's just checking the boxes,
yep.
right? Do we have an emergency action plan? Yeah, I'm sure we do. Do we have these things on hydration? Yep, sounds good. But there's no accountability, there's no assessment. So for those people that are saying, look, I need to get more involved. I want to get more involved because these people are checking the boxes on your behalf.
Yes, they are.
And maybe the person that's checking the box is an administrator, etc. But, you know, Dr. Long, you've got credentials that you hold dearly that protect the public and know, you know, and that identifies you as an athletic trainer. If you are negligent in that practice, that exposes you.
Yes.
It maybe not expose the person that's checking the box, but exposes you and your credentials to practice. So what are some, if you can give maybe three major pearls of wisdom here, what are some tips that you would give somebody that I need to get involved in this? What do you want them to know?
So first off, I would tell them to go find out in their district about your SHAC. That's School Health Advisory Committee. Mm-hmm. They're required by law to meet 4 times a year. Some meet more.
And when you say by law, is that local law, state law? So that's a state law. So it's not a national law.
Nope.
So does every state in the country have a SHAC?
It varies by state. Uh-huh. A lot of them do, yes, because it's a good model to follow. There's a few states that don't, and that's okay. They're kind of working out their own thing. But for the most part, there are SHACs in, I would say, at least 39 states.
And SHAC stands again for Shaquille O'Neal?
Yes, that's
right.
It.
Right, okay.
Uh-huh. School Health Advisory Committee.
School Health Advisory Committee, so SHAC.
Yes, and it meets about 4 times a year, and it has people from the district on it, but it has a lot of parents, it has a lot of community members, mm-hmm. a lot of clergy. It's supposed to have at least one clergy member. Mm-hmm. So it's bringing that community together, and they're going to talk about school health at that meeting.
And so if I'm thinking about school health, you know, I'm thinking about healthcare professionals. So are athletic trainers supposed to be part of this committee? Or
are we required to be? No. Should we be? Yes.
Is that going to change? Is it going to be required?
In my school district next year, it will be required. And again, that's a district thing who's making it required. But I see us moving forward long term as, yes, I think that either an athletic trainer or a team physician or maybe a school nurse is going to be required to be on the SHAC for each district. Mm-hmm. But when you get into these bigger districts, I know up in the Dallas area, a lot of the districts are one high school districts. Mm-hmm. So it's not that big of a deal. But down here near Houston, we have 5 high schools.
And how many high schools are in your district?
We are opening our 5th this year. So starting this year, we're going to have 5.
So as a district, you've got to be able to coordinate 4, now 5 different schools.
Yes.
They all have to have the same policy.
Yes.
So there are going to be some uniform policies and procedures about, you know, healthcare. There's going to be uniform policy procedures about HIPAA and FERPA.
Yes.
There's going to be uniform policies and procedures about environmental conditions.
Yes.
And psychological well-being.
Yes.
And pre-participation examinations.
And these are all things that the SHAC committee is going to be involved with.
That's incredible.
So
that's incredible.
Being a part of your shack now is going to make it easier as an athletic trainer to get ahead of this.
Right.
Because if you, in about 6 years when this is really going full steam, if you're like, wow, maybe I should get involved with my shack now, you're going to be behind the eight ball. But if you get involved now, you're going to be leading the charge, which is great for you and what you have to do every day, but it's also great for our profession as athletic trainers to get us out there so that more people know who we are and what we do every day.
And you're really talking about you know, that first practice domain, right? Injury and illness protection or prevention and wellness protection. So that's nugget number one that you shared. What's nugget number two that they need to know?
If maybe you are too busy to get involved in SHAC, which is, I think you can make time for anything. I think you definitely need to find out in your district who is filling out that evaluation on you. Who is filling out what we call, it's called the SHI, the School Health Index. It's hundreds of pages of questions about coordinated school health and how it's implemented in your district. And there is someone at your district that fills it out every day, or every year, I'm sorry. And if you find out who that person is, offer your services to them. You don't have to go sit in their office and fill it out for them, but educate them on what you do every day, because they're going to be surprised. My guess is they're going to be very surprised at how much of what you do is evaluated and what the district is held accountable for.
And now all of a sudden, because of your practice domains, right, your specialty, you become very, very valuable in not only the school's eyes, right? If you are a high school-based athletic trainer and you're employed by that particular school, now all of a sudden your administration has targeted you and saying, look, you are really the expert in this area. We need to utilize your education and your services. And you become very, very valuable at this point, which, you know, leads down another road of, you know, salary increase and all these other things. But you also start to become very valuable in terms of the school district's eyes. You become very valuable in terms of the state's eyes. I'm sure at some point, hopefully, you know, as far as a country is concerned, you know, they'll start to look at this model as an entire country.
Yes.
And I can surely see you as a part of the president's council on this. I would imagine, and the only thing that I request is that when you do send a letter from the office of the White House, that somehow maybe I just get some sort of like, hey, I'm going to come pick you up in this airport.
I'll send you a
t-shirt. Yeah, thanks. I'll send you a t-shirt. Hey, look,
I'm bringing Air Force too.
Yeah, I sent you this extra small shirt, you know, fat guy in a little coat. Okay, and then finally, the third point is what? So right now we've got point number one is SHAC, right? Get involved in your SHAC. Two is who fills out the SHI?
School Health Index.
Right.
Who fills it out?
And then what's your third nugget?
I think my third nugget is that ask for help. You can ask me. My email's out there, my school district, my phone number, the whole nine yards. It's all out there. But it's really confusing. If you try and do it, you know, you go onto the internet, you start researching, there's a lot out there on it. And it's really confusing. I mean, it's taken me 2 years to get to where I am. And still, there's sometimes I'm reading stuff and I'm like, wait, what's going on?
So
ask for help.
So people understand just your area of specialty. You know, you are a board-certified athletic trainer. You are licensed to practice in the state of Texas. But really, your area of focus, your doctoral degree, really focus your dissertation was on?
Coordinated school health.
So you are really the expert in this area. And so if somebody wants to learn more about it, if somebody says, hey, Dr. Long, I liked your presentation. I saw you at the Sports Medicine Update, or I heard you on the Sports Medicine broadcast. How would somebody get in touch with you?
My email is with my district is melong@lcisd.org.
That's all one.
Yep.
So melong at
lcisd.org.
lcisd.org.
Or my personal email, which is a little harder, Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, dot Shaw, it's my maiden name, S-C-H-A-U, at gmail.com.
And so if they have some questions, they can reach out to Dr. Long. You can also look us up on this particular segment. It's going to be the sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, Melissa Long 2016. Again, that's sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Melissa Long 2016. For this segment, Dr. Long, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Yellen.
And for the Sports Medicine Broadcast, we have taken over the ship. and we have commandeered it, and we're going to drive this bad boy wherever we want. So for the Sports Medicine Broadcast, this is Dr. Josh Yellen for the University of Houston Master of Athletic Training Program. Look us up, www.hhp.uh.edu/MAT. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.